Today on The Girl Defined Show, we're going to be talking about why the messages of self-love, following your heart, and being true to yourself that are permeating our culture today are actually more harmful than helpful. What's up, y'all? It's Bethany in the studio today, and I am so excited to just be hanging out, chilling with you guys, but this message that I'm going to be giving to, it's not a message, I guess, this conversation we're going to be having about really why our modern culture of self-love is more harmful than helpful is a message that's been on my heart and something I'm very, very passionate about, because I feel like this message of looking inward to find, you know, value within our own goodness isn't really working. And we keep hearing it, like, just be true to yourself, look within, you are enough. But then we never measure up. We're never finding that enoughness. We continue to struggle and wrestle, and there isn't like enough therapy in the world that can make us enough and completely worthy. And so we find ourselves ultimately maybe feeling a little bit better, but coming up short. And I think specifically as Christians, this message truly is so damaging and harmful, because we can look in the mirror and we can say, yes, I am enough. But at the end of the day, we go to bed and we know that we're not enough. We look within and we see the yucky stuff that's within us. And without a solution, without an answer, without someone to free us from our not enoughness, we'll never arrive, we'll never make it, and we'll always be on this never-ending journey of trying to look and find enough, but not really being enough. I have to give a shout out to my friend Ali Bastecki, because she wrote a book on this, You Are Not Enough and That's Okay. I'll link it below, but a big shout out to her, because she's really taken this concept and turned it into an entire book, so I love that. But today I'm just going to share my personal journey of really loving myself and finding freedom from that, and ultimately finding freedom in Christ. So I hope this is encouraging to you. Before we jump in though, I want to make sure that you know about the 2021 Girl Defined Conference. If you are not signed up for either the in-person event or the online simulcast, girl, what are you waiting for? We have been talking about this and we just cannot wait. We are literally like a week out, if you're listening to this when I released it, and we're going to be talking all about how to live unashamed, unafraid, bold lives for Christ. And I think now more than ever in this day and age where there's so much like inward focus and fear of being canceled, or fear of just coming across as an evil person that's just the worst, you know, it's scary to talk about things that are biblical and to shine the light of Christ within us. So if you want to learn how to be bold, courageous, and to truly shine bright for Christ and to not be ashamed of being a Christian, then the 2021 Girl Defined Conference is for you. You can grab all the details at girldefined.com/conference. I really hope to see you either in person or online. Okay, so let's rewind back in time to when I was in high school. I'm 32 now, so it's been kind of a hot minute. But I remember just loving myself a lot and priding myself on being good. I was good at sports and I was really proud of that. I loved myself and I thought, wow, I am so worthy because I am so good at this. And I was good at leading. I was good at kind of taking charge and saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that. I was good at that. I was good at being a friend, or at least I thought in my own eyes, this is all, you know, of course. I was good at being a daughter. And the thing I prided myself on the most, and I am showing y'all the really ugly parts of my heart today. So if you're like, wow, you were really prideful and awful. Yes, I totally recognize that. And it's really embarrassing to talk about, but this is the reality of what I really thought. I remember thinking that I am really good at being a Christian girl. Like, I'm so good at this. This was Bethany in high school. And I remember one time specifically, I was outside of the basketball gym, which I basically lived there because I played basketball. All my siblings played basketball, so we were at the gym like all the time. And I remember talking to a guy outside, a friend that I had met from another team. And I remember when we started talking, he told me, my friends told me not to talk to you because, and this is what he said to me, you're too good for me. You're too good. And so they don't think that you want to talk to me and that I just shouldn't even try to be your friend. And I remember thinking in that moment, wow, I am so good. I am so amazing. I loved myself so much. And this just reaffirmed, like, I am amazing. Like, I am so great. And I placed so much of my worth and identity on being good and doing things right. And so I can't emphasize enough, like, how much I loved myself. And this is not in a positive way. Like, this is just, you know, ridiculous how prideful I was and how obsessed with myself I was and how much of my worth I found within being like a good person. And so just like total honesty moment, I was a pretty good person who, like, this is what I thought of myself. I thought, I'm a pretty good person who doesn't really need the gospel. And I kind of thought, Jesus loves me because I'm good. So like right away you can see, and obviously now looking back, I see how backwards I got things. and just how distorted my view of the gospel and of Jesus and just of who I am. Like, it was so messed up. And I remember, like, finding and looking within for so much of my worth and my value because I thought, okay, that Bethany is going to be defined by her goodness. And if she is good, then she is worthy in value and worthy of the gospel. But if she's not, then she's not worthy of value and worth because she doesn't deserve the gospel. It's like so backwards. And if you have a good understanding of the gospel, you can see like absolutely how messed up that was. And the reason that I ended up at that place is because I loved myself so much. My choices in life were really so much less about glorifying God and much more about keeping up appearances and maintaining a certain reputation. And I didn't want to like mess up because I wanted to keep up my reputation. So my heart was totally in the wrong place. I wasn't living a life to glorify God and honor him. I was trying to keep up appearances. And I wanted other people to think like, oh, look at Bethany. She's so good. Or she's such a good Christian girl. Like we want to be like her or we want to be around her. And I really was trying to find so much of my fulfillment in who I thought Bethany should be. I wanted to live up to the, I guess, thoughts of what other people thought I was. And then I wanted to maintain this certain standard level image, whatever it was that I had put upon myself. It was just, you know, crazy. And so it was really in my early 20s that I had a revelation moment that kind of brought a lot of freedom and really transformed my perspective and the way that I viewed myself and God and the gospel. And this is what became so freeing. So it was in my early 20s, and I was in a relationship, and everyone around me was encouraging me to end it. Everyone was like, this isn't a healthy relationship. You shouldn't be in this relationship. You're not growing closer to Christ. He's not growing closer to Christ. You're really like becoming isolated. And there was just so much going on that wasn't healthy. If you caught the episode with Ellen Dykus on toxic relationships, I share more of that story. So go back and listen to that episode. But everyone around me was encouraging to end it, but I had like a death grip on this relationship. I was so controlling of it and I was not going to let it go. I was trusting my feelings and following my heart, being true to myself and saying, no, I know what everyone else is saying, but they literally just want me to be miserable. They don't care about me. I'm going to look inward and do what I want to do. And the heart obviously is so deceitful. You know, it wants what it wants when it wants it. And I convinced myself that everyone had turned against me and they just wanted me to die an old maid. And so I loved myself and believed in myself and was being true to myself. And I was doing what I thought was right. And I was ignoring wisdom around me. I was ignoring like so many red flags. And I was solely relying on my inward feelings and emotions. And sadly, this went on for several years. You know, I wish that I would have like got with the program and been like, what the heck? You know, like I shouldn't be in this relationship, but I valued myself and my opinions and ideals above like everything and everyone. And I wasn't even willing to like consider the wisdom of those around me. And so it really wasn't until a few years in that God was just so gracious and opened my eyes to the reality of my situation. I took a trip with some friends. We went to the mountains, and it was on that trip that I guess just being in the great outdoors and under the skies and the heavens that God opened my eyes, and I finally saw for the first time the relationship for what it truly was. It was a disaster. It was several years of my life, not wasted because God can use anything for good, but it was like negative and detrimental in every single way. My relationships with the people I loved most were weaker. My spiritual life was weaker. My relationship with God was weaker. Just my ambition, everything about my life was just like blah, you know, it just wasn't better. And the thing that I hated most once my eyes were open was just seeing how that romantic relationship had pulled me away from the people that I loved most. And it really was isolating me. And this relationship in so many ways had pressured me to compromise and just to become someone that I knew Christ wasn't calling me to be. And so when my eyes were open to just how naive and stupid and ridiculous and dumb I had been, all words that I used to describe myself during that time, I remember feeling like, ew, Bethany isn't so great after all. Like she is not that awesome. And instead of looking inward and saying, okay, you just got to believe in yourself. You are enough. You know, look to your truth. I was like, that's what I did for the last 3 years. And look at where it got me. It got me to this disaster place. And like, I was just embarrassed. I was ashamed. And I recognized that I had wasted a lot of time. And in that moment, it was this big moment of like revelation for me. I realized that self-love wasn't the answer in that moment because, like I said, I looked within and I didn't like what I saw. And so I needed someone greater than myself because loving yourself can only take you so far. And when you get to a moment that is, you know, so low and so like you realize how ridiculous you've been, you look inward and you're like, wow, I am not enough. So if I'm looking to myself and going to speak my truth and be enough, like I don't have it. Like I don't have what it takes. So in that moment, we need something deeper. We need something better. We need someone who can save us from our not enoughness. And that's really when the gospel hit me in a new and fresh way. I remember after this relationship ended, I was walking around my neighborhood, kind of like on a prayer walk of sorts. And I was just talking to God through prayer and just talking about, you know, like how ridiculous I had been and just like, oh my goodness, God, like, thank you for having so much grace on me and for allowing me to see what a disaster this relationship was. And it was on that walk that I had like a fresh perspective of the gospel. And I remember realizing in a new way that Jesus didn't die for perfect people. He didn't die because we were already kind of like halfway there and we were already kind of good enough. And I remember realizing like, wow, Jesus didn't die a little less for some and a little more for others. Like, no, Jesus came because I wasn't good enough, because you weren't good enough. He came because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were lost without him. There was no hope of restoration and freedom and true lasting life without him. We were just goners, you know? And so he came to bring hope and life that can't be found within. He came to be everything that we can never truly be, that I can never truly be. And I realized he came to save me from myself. He came to make a way for me to love God more fully. And it was in that moment that I realized, wow, this is why you came, Jesus. Not because Bethany is good enough and not because she has so much good within her. You came because I'm not enough and I don't have enough within to like make this life completely hope-filled and lasting. You came because I needed you and I am lost and broken. And that's what the gospel is all about, saving us from ourselves and our sin and all of who we are and finding a new identity in Christ as God's daughter, as his redeemed child, as someone who is now living with the purpose of eternity on her mind. And so during that whole relationship, during this moment when I had a better understanding of the gospel, I didn't need Coulter's advice of loving myself more. I needed the gospel hope of loving God more and recognizing my brokenness and my need for a savior. And so I don't know where you are right now, but I'm sure you've experienced your own form of striving to measure up or striving to be good enough or striving to love yourself more. And I know this because the messages of goodness and self-love are literally permeating our society today. I mean, just see if you've ever heard any of these words. Follow your heart. Be true to yourself. Follow your truth. Speak your truth. You are enough. Just look within yourself. What is your gut telling you? Don't let anyone stand in your way. Follow your inner dream. You are a good person. Love yourself more. You just need to forgive yourself. And I remember also hearing a story. It was a very popular life coach who claimed to be a Christian, and she was sharing very strong advice, very similar to this, specifically to women. And she was sharing how important it is to not let anyone get in the way of your inner dream, not even your family, not your husband, not your kids, not anyone around you. And she was saying, like, you are the only one who knows your inner dream and you must chase it at all costs. You must follow that inner dream because that's where true satisfaction is found. And if that means you're giving up your marriage, you know, giving up your, you know, ideal family, if that means giving up loving the people around you, like, your inner dream is the most important thing about your life. And I'm not even exaggerating here. This is 100% the advice that she was giving. And so I looked up on Google, like, okay, what is the top definition of self-love? Because this kind of all goes hand in hand. And I'm like, okay, here's the advice we're getting. What does Google say about self-love? And so this is what I got. Self-love means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others. Self-love means not settling for less than you deserve. And that is like 100% the advice that that popular life coach was giving, that Christian life coach. And that's also the, like, you know, the advice that many of us, especially as women, are being given by like popular bloggers and like, you know, on, you know, Instagram therapists, whoever it is. I feel like self-love in this unhealthy way, in this anti-gospel way, is like 100% the message that we are being given. And I just want you to think for a second. Imagine if Jesus had followed this wildly popular advice. So think about this. Imagine if Jesus followed the wildly popular advice of that life coach, or of what we're constantly hearing to put ourselves above. Now listen, think of Jesus and listen to this definition of again. Imagine if he had listened to this. Self-love means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others. Self-love means not settling less for less than what you deserve. Can you even imagine if Jesus had followed that modern advice? He would have never come and given up his life for the very people that, you know, rejected him. He came and loved us so much and sacrificed so much. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He literally was the epitome of the opposite of self-love. He loved us so much that he literally came, gave up his life, was tortured, and ultimately put to death an unjust, undeserved death on the cross because of love. It's just insane how much we have become the idols of our own lives, that we fallen, sinful human beings think that we are better than our Savior and that we should live like to this other standard that we've come up with. It's just ridiculous. We're really professionals at loving ourselves and obsessing over ourselves. I mean, just think about the hours of our lives we spend in these areas and like how much time we spend focusing on, number one, me. I mean, social media, like how much time do we just scroll and you know, kind of just think about ourselves and post about ourselves? And I'm just as guilty as the next person. We're gossiping. Like, we're professionals at gossiping and making other people look bad and raising ourselves up. Or boys, just obsessing about boys and how they make us feel. Beauty, stuff, fun, money. Most of us live day in and day out thinking about and living for number one, not Christ, but ourselves. And I think the truth is that when we look within ourselves, we are no longer looking to Christ. When we look within ourselves for our enoughness, our like being all that we should be and looking out for number one, we're no longer looking to Christ to be our strength and our power and our purpose and all that we should be. And I kind of think of it as like a well. Like, if you think of a drinking well, many of us don't have those, but maybe if you live in the country or the hill country, you still, you know, have one. But basically, when we look to ourselves for our enoughness, it's like trying to scoop water from an empty well. There isn't anything of substance to draw up. It's like having a deep well that is empty, but you still put your bucket in and day out. You might get some dirty mud at the bottom, but you're basically scooping emptiness and you're trying to fill yourself up on this nothingness. And that's kind of how our lives are. We don't have the substance within to supply what we truly need in life. We need water in the well in order for the well to produce and give and really sustain life. And in the same way in our lives, we need something, someone greater to draw from. We need a source. We don't need more self-love, self-propping up. We need more God love. We need more of him in our life because he really is the, you know, the spiritual bread, the spiritual food, the everything that we cannot be. And I really think that Jesus is and shows us the perfect example of what life is actually all about. And so if you're like tuning in with me here, I want you to open up your Bible because we're going to turn to a couple passages and just see a drastically different example of what Jesus set for us as compared to culture. And as you're grabbing your Bibles, go grab them or pull it up on your phone or whatever. I want to remind you that the 2021 Girl Defined Conference is happening in San Antonio, Texas on July 30th and 31st. So if you are not signed up for either our simulcast version where you can join from anywhere in the world or for our in-person event here in San Antonio, Texas, I want you to go to girldefined.com/conference, grab your ticket, invite a friend because we cannot wait to see you there. Okay, if you have your Bible, first we're going to go to Mark 10:45. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then move to Philippians 2:3-8. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not look to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." And then another verse, John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." And so just think about that. Jesus knew that his life on earth was about fulfilling the will of his Father. He knew his life on earth was for the purpose of serving, giving, and being others focused. And he came to give life by giving up his life. He literally came out to pour out his life for others. And that's the example we're called to follow. We are called to follow Jesus in that same way. If you go to Luke 9:24-25, it says, "And he," Jesus, "said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it." Like, what a drastically different message than the culture is giving us. Now, I want to read you a story that I read a few years ago that just totally impacted me and changed the way I viewed myself and I viewed the gospel. And I will link the source to this below. I found this online. It's just an incredible bringing to life of what Jesus's life was actually like. The crowd had told Pilate they wanted Jesus killed. Pilate ordered Jesus to be brought inside the palace. The soldiers crowded around Jesus. They pushed him one way, then the other. They took off his clothes and put a robe on him. The robe was the color worn by kings, a reddish purple. The soldiers did this so they could make fun of Jesus. "Look at him now. Now he doesn't look like a king. A king should have a crown." They twisted together a crown of thorns. They forced it onto his head. They put a stick in his right hand and knelt in front of him. The guards laughed at him. "Long live the King of the Jews," they sneered. They spat on him and took the stick. They hit him on the head with it again and again. All the while, Jesus did not fight back. The soldiers led Jesus back to Pilate. He tried again to tell the religious leaders there was no reason to kill Jesus. As soon as the priests and religious leaders saw Jesus, though, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him! You crucify him! I can't find any reason to have this man killed. He says he's the Son of God," they answered back. "And according to Jewish law, he must die for this." Pilate went back inside the palace. "Where do you really come from?" he asked Jesus. Jesus said nothing. Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power to set you free?" Jesus shook his head. He said, "You have no power over me. God is in control here." Pilate tried one more time to set Jesus free. The people would not let him. The soldiers forced Jesus to take up two heavy pieces of crossed wood. As they climbed the hill, Jesus stumbled and fell. The soldiers told a man named Simon to carry the cross for Jesus. A group of women had followed Jesus up the hill. They wept for Jesus. He turned to them. "Don't cry for me. Cry for Jerusalem. This city has turned its back on the Messiah." Jesus could barely stand. He was so weak. The cruel whip had torn open his back. Blood ran down his face from the crown of thorns. One of the soldiers went up to Jesus. He forced him to drink some drugged wine, which might ease the pain. After tasting it, Jesus shook his head no. Then the soldier stretched Jesus onto the cross. They nailed his hands and feet to the wood. They nailed Jesus to the cross. Above his head, they hammered a sign, "This is the King of the Jews." A soldier made fun of him. Even as he hung on the cross, the soldiers gambled to see who would get Jesus' robe. Some of the people shouted up at him, "If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross." Not everyone standing around Jesus' cross wanted to hurt him, though. Among the women were his mother and another Mary and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother and John standing next to each other. He said to her, "Mother, this man is your son now." Then he said to John, "This is your mother now." From that day on, John took care of Mary, Jesus' mother. Even up to the very last moments, Jesus took care of those he loved. Jesus deserved everything, and yet he chose to love us sacrificially. He conquered sin and death for the lost, foolish, naive, and sinful people just like me and just like you. He was perfect in my place. He gave up his rights. He gave up his life. He was humble. He was good. He was gracious. He was kind. He was forgiving. His entire life was not about more self-love, but about fulfilling the will of his Father. The exact opposite of everything that we're being told in our world today. So I want you to think about like the next time you find yourself tempted to love yourself in order to be good enough or to measure up or to alleviate your guilt. Remember that the answer is not within yourself. You will never be enough or have enough. The answer is within Christ. And that's because we don't need more self-love. We need more God love. So when you find yourself striving to be good enough or to earn your worth like I did for so long, remember that Jesus was perfect in your place. When you find yourself ashamed over past decisions, remember that's why Jesus came to earth to die and rose again from the dead, to forgive us and cleanse us. Don't carry the shame that he has already carried for you. When you find yourself living for your own fame and your own name, remember that your entire purpose in life is to be in relationship with Christ and to point others to him. Remember the well, that you don't have what it takes. Don't scoop from the emptiness within. Look to Christ, because that's where lasting hope is found. Lasting purpose is found in Jesus. Lasting peace is found in Jesus. Lasting forgiveness is found in Jesus. Lasting worth is found in Jesus. It's not within ourselves. We don't need more self-love. We need more God love. I just want you to think as I wrap it up here. This is a conversation, like I said, that is super on my heart. But I just want you to imagine what would happen in our families, in our churches, and in our communities if we stopped living for ourselves and truly started living for God. Imagine how different your relationships, your purpose, your peace, your relationship status, the lost around you, the way you post on social media, your friendships, just imagine how drastically different they would look if you stopped living for yourself and truly started living for God in every single one of those areas. That's a really tall order that none of us can measure up to, but with the power of Christ within us, with his strength, with his redemption, with his forgiveness, with his goodness, with his love, with his power within us, we can live a drastically different life. We can live not to be served, but to serve. We can live to do the will of the Father just like Jesus did. So the next time you're told, girl, you just need to love yourself more, remember Jesus and remember like where would we be if he had followed that, you know, popular advice of our modern day? We'd be lost and broken with no hope of eternity with him. He would have never come and died for us and given up his life if that's the advice he would have followed. So I just want to encourage you to pray and ask God to change your heart, to be more focused on Christ and following Jesus's example than following the popular messages of our day. I just want to pray for us really quick. I feel like that would be awesome just to close our little conversation here in prayer, because this is really, really hard to do. Let me just pray for us real quick. God, thank you so much for this opportunity just to chat on the podcast today with the Girl Defined Sisterhood. I know talking about you and just the way you lived, God, is so countercultural to our world and our natural sinful selves. So I just pray that you would free us from ourselves, that you would free us from our self-love, that you would free us from our idolatry. Please help us to love you fully and completely, that we would be more focused on you and less focused on ourselves, that we would live not to be served, but to serve. God, I pray that you would transform us into your image and help us to shine bright for you, to be truly daughters of the King, and that we would live with eternity on our minds. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you are on the podcast app, if you're on Apple Podcasts, please drop a comment below letting me know what you thought of this conversation. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review. It really helps get the word out. It's one of the best things that you can do for us and just to encourage other sisters in Christ to listen. And if you are on Instagram, drop a comment below just letting me know like what you thought and what you think of self-love, and you know, what's your take on all of this. And I hope to see you on July 30th and 31st at the 2021 Girl Defined Conference. Go to girldefined.com/conference to grab your tickets. There's still time. It's never too late to join either the simulcast or the in-person. Go to girldefined.com/conference, and I'll see you again next week.